All right, welcome to another edition of the Long and Winey Show. Tonight we're going to do half of the White Album, because it is a double album, so we're only going to do half of it, and then we'll do half next week. And it was released November 22nd, 1968, and a lot of these songs were written when the Beatles were in India, is that correct?
Yes.
I mean, basically, if you look at it, I always thought this is like four solo albums. I mean, you got John's songs, you got Paul's songs, you got George's songs, and you got a couple Ringo. I think it's one of the most independently written albums, and I think you can tell. There's a lot of indulgence by John. All right, back in the USSR. First song. Iconic song, I love it. The plane flies in. You got the bass kicking up, you got the guitar riffs, got a little bit of piano, you know, it's just, it's a great song. And there's some songs in here that are a little heavier than we're used to hearing from the band, I think. This song's got a little bit of a heavier feel to it, you know, not like some of the other ones that we're going to get to, but it also has a Beach Boy feel to it.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think Paul said that this was partly inspired, his attempt to write a Beach Boys song. I think that's what he said. You know, he got the oohs and the, you know, stuff like that. And then in the middle of the ma, ma, ma sound. And yeah, it definitely sounds like a Beach Boys song. But I still think it rocks.
Oh yeah, it's a great song. It's a great rocker. It's a great way to start off the album. And it definitely is a pastiche of Beach Boys songs. And I guess there's a little bit of Chuck Berry in there, too. I guess it's based off a Chuck Berry song, Back in the USA.
Oh, really? Okay.
So it's like a combination of Chuck Berry lyrics and Beach Boys sound. And it's one of the few Paul songs on this album that John really liked.
Yeah, I know. We're going to get to that, though.
Hey, I'm back! I'm back in the USSR! Hey, it's so good to be home!
Next up is Dear Prudence.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Which was written about Mia Farrow's sister, is that correct?
Yes.
And I think it's a great acoustic, you know, it starts out with the acoustic. The bass line is subtle, but I think it's really good. Mm-hmm. The bass just sounds fantastic. And when you listen to it on headphones, you can really hear it. And it really makes the song, I think. The guitar kicks in there in the middle, and it just kind of rocks a little bit. And I love it. It's probably one of my favorite John songs. I always look forward to hearing it on this album. I like it a lot. What do you got?
I agree. It's a good song, and the bass is really memorable.
And they're definitely playing together on this one, because there's no mistaking McCartney's bass playing, so... Mm-hmm. That's definitely him.
I was just going to add that this is one of the few songs that they really did write in India instead of just starting it in India and then finishing up in the studio. I guess from what I read, they pretty much did write the song there in India as they were serenading Prudence because she'd locked herself away. She was meditating too much, and I guess the Maharishi was worried about her. She was diving in too much. She was doing too much meditation.
So, Glass Onion, I wrote down again, the bass is really, really good on this album, the first two sides here, it's really good. I like the bass, I like the drums, man, and then I like when he kind of throws in there in the middle, the walrus was Paul, man. Mm-hmm. You know, that was sweet. And he references other songs that Paul has written, which mm-hmm. is kind of cool too. Fool on the Hill. He throws in Strawberry Fields. He puts in Fixin' a Hole. He talks about that. And the ending is just so cool, you know. And the drums, you know, that drums when it goes, you know, the drum at the very beginning of the song, you know, it's just awesome. Yeah, Lennon's songs on these first two sides for the White Album are really strong. Well, it's definitely a strong track.
And I also like the wordplay with Dovetail Joint, because all the druggies were thinking, oh, wow, it's a new kind of drug. but it was just a play on words with the carpentry dovetail joint.
What do you think about the playing as far as the instruments?
As always, I like the strings in the background, the cellos.
Yeah. They got a lot of strings on these first two sides. There's some other songs that have some orchestrations too.
Mm-hmm.
Obla di obla da. Well, I guess we'll just get right off the bat and we'll say John hated this song.
Yes.
Did he think it was too cute, too silly? What was his problem with it?
I guess so. I'm kind of surprised that he hated this song so much because it's up tempo. It's almost a rocker, and it's like a Jamaican style music that they never got into otherwise.
And so, I've always liked it.
Yeah, it's fun. I've always liked the song too. And I just read that it's based off. I think it's Jimmy Scott. He was a jazz musician.
Uh huh.
His expression was "Obla di obla da, life goes on."
Oh, okay.
And Paul just took it from him. And I guess Jimmy Scott was kind of upset about that.
Well, I mean, this is kind of a story song. I mean, it talks about Desmond and the kids and whatnot. And the piano is just wild. I just love the piano. Mm-hmm. The vocals are strong. There's a little instrumentation in the middle that's cool. And it's a great, anybody that hears this song is going to instantly want to sing along with it. I mean, it's just catchy as hell. I like it. And he's been doing it in concert lately, and it sounds pretty damn good in concert, too. It's a short song, but I mean, it packs a lot into it. Yeah, I like it. I've always liked it. I don't care what John thinks.
I also read that the mistake... I should say the confusion with Desmond and Molly doing their pretty face, that was by accident, and during one of the takes, and Paul thought it was pretty funny, so he left it in.
Yeah, it's a cool tune, and I think he did this in when you taped that show at the Apollo. I think he did this there.
Oh yeah,
and that it was good then too. He does a good job with this still. The voice holds up, I guess I should say. Wild Honey Pie. It's a short song, 52 seconds.
And this was a jam that they came up with in India, and I'm really surprised that they thought enough of it to actually record it.
Well, I like the cool guitar it's got going on. I don't even know if that's a guitar, but it's cool. Whatever that sound is, I've always liked it.
Yeah, it is kind of weird.
It's a strange song, yeah, but what do you think of it?
It's fun, I guess. There's not much to it.
52 seconds, yeah. And then it leads right into Bungalow Bill, so...
1, 2, 3, 4. Hey, Bungalow Bill!
I mean, that's another killer John song on this album. I like it. I like that a lot, too. Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you, is Yoko singing on this with them?
Yes. It doesn't. It sounds like somebody trying to sound like a kid.
Right.
Not when he looks so fierce, his mommy butted in.
But that's actually Yoko.
Yeah.
I found out when I was reading the Mark Lewisohn book on the recording sessions that's actually Yoko. And this is the time where Yoko was spending a lot of time in the studio, and the other Beatles did not care for that, but John insisted on it because he thought her presence would... you know, relax him.
Yeah, well.
And so, and then she started getting ill. I don't know. Yeah, she probably wasn't getting pregnant yet, but they actually installed a bed for her. And so she was lying down in a bed in the studio for a lot of this.
Really?
Yeah.
So she's in there the whole time recording this entire album.
I don't know if it was this album or Abbey Road. Or I was going to say Let It Be, but Let It Be wasn't recorded at Abbey Road. So it could have been Abbey Road. I could be jumping times here, which I noticed I've been doing that lately. I've been remembering stuff for the wrong album.
Well, there's a lot to remember with this stuff. Well, there's a little bit of on our Wikipedia issue again, but there's a little bit about them. The page mentions that the engineers visibly could see Lennon and McCartney bickering quite a bit during the recording of this album.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
So this is kind of like the beginning of the end here. I mean,
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, we're getting close here to it all being over. I like the lyric, Captain Marvel zapped him right between the eyes, and he goes, zap! All the children sing. I love that part. This is it's a silly song, but I think this song works. It's cool.
I never noticed that Bungalow Bill is actually a play on Buffalo Bill.
Right.
And
yeah.
And it's obvious once you see it, but it never really occurred to me. I just thought John was having some fun with the word bungalow. And it's based on a real person, actually.
Really?
Bungalow Bill. Yeah, it's based on someone. They were with this woman in Rishikesh, which is the retreat in Africa or India that they went to. And her son showed up and did some hunting. And he actually killed a tiger, which upset the Maharishi a lot. And the guy defended himself by saying the tiger was attacking them. It wasn't like he was just looking to kill a tiger.
Right.
But the Maharishi was still very upset. So the song is based on the woman's son. And they mention the mother in the song, too. Not by name, obviously.
Right.
But there's a reference to I always took his mom.
That's cool.
When he goes hunting.
Was there a Spanish guitar there at the end? Is that?
It's at the beginning. And I found out also from the Mark Lewison book that that's just... some music from the library. That's not the Beatles playing anything.
Really?
Yeah. They just took that. They like the sound of it, I guess, and it fit well as a transition into Bungalow Bill, so they just inserted it into the album. So that's not them playing.
Well, man, that could bust my bubble. I was...
That was
either McCartney or Lennon playing that.
No.
Wow.
No. It's some stock audio.
That's crazy. Well, Bungalow Bill goes right into While My Guitar Gently Weeps, which probably most people think is Harrison's best song. Maybe some people think Something or Here Comes a Sun, but this is definitely people's one of their favorites.
Yeah, it's his best song up to this time, I guess.
And Eric Clapton is playing on it, obviously, and he sounds fantastic. And
1, 2, 3, 4.
It's a classic George song, killer guitar solo, and it's a little heavier, I think, like I said before, it's a little heavier for them. Paul does a little bit of harmonies in there, which is cool. The drums are good, too. George sounds great, and I think lyrically this song is just really good. I mean, George is definitely picking the pace up on his lyrics. It's just a great song. And I actually like have you heard the Love version?
Oh, yeah.
It's an acoustic version.
Yeah, that's off Anthology. And that's the version I like better.
Yeah, me too. I thought that was a great version of this song. I like it better than the one that made the album.
Yeah, as soon as I heard that, I heard it on a bootleg first, and as soon as I heard it, it's like, why didn't they put this out?
Yeah.
Because I've always thought that the album version is just overdone.
Yeah, it's a little overproduced.
It's too long, it's got too much stuff going on. I don't like the fake wailing in the background. It's kind of mawkish, and I just don't like it. So I like the song, but I don't really like the recording of it that much. If you can split hairs like that.
Well, the version on Love in the Anthology is just awesome. And if anybody hasn't heard that, they need to go seek it out because it's fantastic.
And it has an extra verse, too, that they cut from the album version for some reason.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot about that. Yeah, I guess I'm agreeing with you. I do like the song, but it is a little overproduced, a little overdone. But I can't slap Clapton in the face. I mean, he does a great guitar solo, so.
Yeah, I was kind of upset to find that wasn't George playing way back when I found out. I just assumed it was George playing guitar.
But if you listen to it, it definitely sounds like Clapton. I mean, it's got all his signature things in it, but they're great friends, so. Is this before Patty Boyd, or who knows what was going on with the three of them? That's a whole nother story. It's a show unto itself, the trials of the Patty Boyd relationship. This song slides right into Happiness is a Warm Gun, which is probably one of my favorite Lennon songs. I just love it. It's creepy. It's a creepy lyric. Is that two songs cut together that Lennon had pieces of and then just combined them?
It's three songs, actually.
Okay. I mean, there's a distinct difference between the first half and the second half. Lyrically, I like lying with his eyes while his hands are busy working overtime. I need a fix. I don't know if that's a drug reference or not.
Yes, it is.
I mean, just crazy. The bass line is great. John's voice is, like, so intense, though. I mean, it just sounds great. And the falsetto when he goes, you know, gone. I just thought that's always cool. And I said I liked the cover they did in Across the Universe.
Mm.
And that was kind of cool. It had a lot of good imagery with it. What do you think?
I don't think I like it as much as you do. I'm surprised that you think it's one of his best.
I just love it, man.
Yeah, it's an interesting song. It's like a novelty, but I don't know if I'd rank it that highly.
There's another one coming up that I absolutely love too. It's one of his. But I think I like this one better than the other ones coming up. But yeah, I love this song, man.
Yeah, I like his vocal. I like that he's having fun at the end when he turns into like a preacher, practically extolling the glories of a warm gun.
Yeah, it's crazy. So you're giving it a thumbs down or kind of like an eh?
Thumbs slightly up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Side two, Martha, my dear. Now, you tell me if this is wrong. Is this a song about his dog? Because that's what I read.
Yeah, well, the title is about his dog, but I think he said other things about the actual song. But yeah, his dog is named Martha, so obviously there's that connection. But I don't know if the song itself is about his dog.
Is there a tuba that kicks in there somewhere? What is that sound in the middle there? The chorus kicks in.
I never thought about it as being a tuba, but yeah, it could be. I always thought it was like a low trombone, but yeah, it could be a tuba. But yeah, it's brass. It's brass.
Yeah, I lost your verse. It's pretty cool. Great vocal, though, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
And I like the instrumentation. I like all that. Not one of my favorite Paul songs, but I like it.
Yeah, I think I scandalized my brothers a long while ago, when I said that this was one of my favorite songs on the album.
Really?
Yeah, because, I mean, there's so many great songs on this, and this is the one I single out. But I think I just like you were saying, the instrumentation. I like the big orchestra that comes in at the end.
Yeah.
And it just sounds so British and so 60s. It reminds me of the theme to the Avengers, the TV show, obviously, with John Steed and Emma Peel.
Oh, that's a good... Yeah, that's cool. You're right.
There's something about that era with like big band British music. It just has a special sound to it.
Right. Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. I never thought about that, but you're right. Yeah, that's kind of cool. Maybe I'm giving it a little more of a thumbs up now that you pointed that out. That is cool. I'm so tired.
I like this song. It appeals to me because it's a song about insomnia that I guess John suffered from, and I can easily identify with this song.
Yeah, me too. I like his voice at the beginning. It sounds so cool. It sounds like he's tired, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, exactly. He's really putting himself in the role.
Yeah, his vocals on this album as a whole are just great. I like when he goes, I wonder, should I call you, but I know what you would do. I think his voice just sounds great, you know, and then he wants a little peace of mind. I just love that. And this and Happiness, the Warm Gun are my two favorite Lennon songs. So I love
of all time or on this album?
On this album, but they're right up there as far as their catalog. I love both these songs a lot. I think they sound great. What do you think?
I like it. I was just thinking what would be my favorite John Lennon song be off this album, and I don't know.
There's a lot to choose from, but
yeah, they're all good. None of them really stands out.
Well, there's one coming up here shortly that I like a lot too, but we'll get to it in a minute. Black
The ending of this song is another Paul is Dead clue.
Oh, well, fill me in.
When he says that gibberish at the end.
Oh, yeah.
If you play it backwards, it says, Paul is dead, man, miss him, miss him.
Give you everything I've got for a little peace of mind. The simplest circumstances. How bad is it?
But the weird thing is, John is not. The tape is not reversed. It's not like him saying Paul's dead man, miss him, and they play it backwards. He's actually saying something.
Right.
But you can't make it out because it's gibberish.
Right.
So if it really is a clue, he would have had to have recorded Paul's dead man, miss him, play it backwards, remember what it sounded like backwards, and then imitate those sounds forward.
Right.
So yeah. Is it a complete coincidence, or is this evidence that John was instigating this?
I don't know. You got a good point.
Was enabling this? Was an accessory to this conspiracy?
I mean, when you think about the whole Paul is dead thing, they're going to let somebody come in the band, and I mean, McCartney was pretty much running the band from Revolver on. John would never let somebody that isn't McCartney run his band. I mean. Or did he not? I mean, did he not care at all about his band at all at this point? I mean, it just sounds a little ridiculous.
Well, now you're thinking logically. That's not going to fly.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe I am. Well, Blackbird is one of Paul's great acoustic numbers, and the playing itself is just fantastic. I mean, he sounds great on it. The actual guitar playing. And those bird sounds in there, I always like that. It's cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great guitar song in general. I mean, from what I understand of what I've been when I did a little bit of research, it's actually a hard song to play. And he kind of always jokes around about that in concert about, you know, this is a tough song to play, and he, you know, he'll run through the opening part real fast, and then he'll say, "Oh, did you get that? You guys get that?" You know. This is a cool song, and I guess it's a civil rights song, but I never knew that until he told us in concert years ago.
Yeah.
But is that your understanding?
Yeah, just like you said, it's only started being referred to as a civil rights song recently, so I wonder how much credence there is to that, if he's like retrofitting some meaning to it.
He's giving it a reboot, so to speak.
He did, one of the demos I heard, he did mention Blackbird as being a black woman.
Right.
But he didn't actually say that this is a song I'm writing to build up the spirits of the people fighting for civil rights. Which is how he's framing it now.
The era was right, though.
Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm.
Definitely there in the era.
Mm-hmm. But it's kind of... It's kind of strange that he didn't mention. He wouldn't have mentioned that at the time.
True. Yeah. Well, I think he goes through a lot of revisionist history every once in a while. But what do you think as far as the guitar playing? What do you think?
Oh, it's great. I've always liked this song. It's a nice song to sing to, too.
Yeah, it's great vocals, man. The whole package is just good.
It's really simple, too. It's just like a metronome and him playing guitar. And yeah. The bird sound effects. And by the way, the bird sound effects are different on the mono version to
really?
The stereo version. Yeah, it's the same recording, but they just did they faded in at different parts. So it's not exactly the same.
Okay. Well, if you've got it, drop it in.
Audio comparison 1. Stereo version on left, mono version on right.
You were only waiting for this moment to arrive.
Piggies. Very strange song.
Mm-hmm.
Not one of my favorite George songs, but re-listening to it, I come to appreciate it a little bit more. Is that a harpsichord? What is that?
Yep, it's a harpsichord.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that.
It is weird.
It's a very strange song. Is this a song about the fat cats, though, or what?
Yeah, I assume so. It's like an indictment of the upper class or middle class from one of the things I was reading. But just people that live their lives obliviously and and kind of feed on each other, because he talks about the pigs eating bacon.
Yeah, that's true.
And it seems like it would be a reference to Animal Farm, but I don't know if George has actually said that.
Is it kind of creepy, though?
Yeah, it's got a weird sound to it, but I really like it. And as usual, I especially like it because it's got cello in it. It's got the harpsichord and cello, and I just like the sound of that.
Yeah,
it's got that very stuffy sound.
Right. Yeah, it's a cool sounding song, that's for sure. You still there?
Yeah.
Is Skippy? Is this not a skippable one though? Is it?
Not for me.
Okay.
I really like this song.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to skip it, but like I said, I found a new appreciation. I think it's definitely a cool sound to it.
And the sound effects are different on this, too, compared to the mono version.
Audio comparison 2. Stereo version on left, mono version on right.
One more time.
I believe the mono version's a little shorter. I think the stereo version, the pig sounds at the end, go on a couple seconds longer.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, it's not a very long song. It's only 2 minutes and 4 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So we're on to Rocky Raccoon. This song is so freaking cool. I mean, I've always liked this song, and I would die if he played it in concert. I mean, I just love it that much.
He hasn't done it in concert?
No, I wish he would, though.
I figured he would have done all his songs by now.
I love his voice. I mean, it's got a country feel to it. It's got the acoustic in there. It's got that Old West piano again.
Mm-hmm.
And the lyrics themselves are just really cool. I mean, it definitely tells a story from the beginning to the end. And mm-hmm. I've always dug this song. It's just cool. It's a cool tune. Be a great video if they were doing videos back then. What do you think?
Oh, I agree. It's a fun song. And I always imagined Rocky Raccoon being a cartoon character who was actually a raccoon, but I guess...
Now you say that, that's how I used to feel when I was a kid.
But I guess it's not supposed to be. He's supposed to be a cowboy who just has the name of Raccoon. Because I always pictured Rocket J. Squirrel from Bullwinkle.
Now that you say that, when I was a kid, that's what I used to think, too. I mean, but yeah, when you listen to the lyrics, it's definitely a cowboy. What do you think of the lyrics?
They're okay. They're fun.
You don't think it tells a good story, though?
Yeah, it tells a story. I don't know how good a story it is, but yeah, it tells a story. It's got a beginning, middle, and end. I kind of like the story songs that are more realistic than this, since we were talking about story songs a couple episodes ago. This is kind of cartoonish, but yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. Don't Pass Me By. I don't know, I think this probably is one of my favorite Ringo tunes. I like it a lot. I like the vocals sounds good. The fiddle sounds good. There's another country western kind of feel to it. The line about a car crash and lost your hair.
Yeah.
Is that another clue?
I don't know. It seems like it would be. Yeah, but I don't know if... they probably picked up on it.
And I like the bass line. It's very subtle, but I like it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
This is an okay song. This could be a skippable song for me, but I usually don't skip it. But, and this song's been around for a long time, too.
What do you mean?
Ringo wrote it a few years back. Because they mention it in one of the Christmas LPs, one of the Christmas records, not LPs.
Oh, you mean it was written a couple years before they recorded it?
Yeah. Yeah, this is old this is old for them.
Okay.
And Paul mentions that Ringo's written a song called Don't Pass Me By. Don't Make Me Cry, Don't Make Me Blue.
From the archives, The Beatles, on Top Gear, the 14th of July, 1964.
Ringo, how about your songwriting? How's that coming on?
Oh, yes, I've written a good one, you see, but yes? No one seems to want to record it.
No.
Oh, Paul may record it on a...
No.
Yes, Paul, promised.
Ringo. Okay. Paul. I was doing the tune for you to sing it.
No, I don't want to sing. You can sing
don't
that.
Don't pass me by. Oh, you do.
Rhythm and blues song.
Oh, yeah. Don't pass me by. Don't make me cry. Don't make me blue, baby. Because you know why?
I got the ice cream for you.
it's a sensational.
You wrote all those words?
Yeah, blues and all that.
He's the Dylan Thomas of Liverpool, isn't he?
You've talked, Georgie.
So they just kind of finally got around to recording it? Or
yeah, probably when they decided to turn this into a two-record set instead of just one, they had the extra space, so they figured, oh, all right, we'll get Ringo to record his song that he's been pestering us about.
For 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it, though, but yeah, I like it. I'm not going to skip it.
And also, the fiddle part is different on the mono version and stereo version.
Audio comparison 3. Stereo version on left, mono version on right.
I like that. I guess now I need to go buy the mono box set to get the full effect here. Why don't we do it in the road?
What's the next song?
That's it.
Oh, okay.
Why don't we do it in the road? What do you think?
I guess this is another one that Paul came up with in India. The story goes that he was watching two monkeys copulate.
Right.
And he just thought how simple it is for animals to get together while humans have to go through all these rituals and stuff. But I think he's conveniently forgetting that animals usually rape each other for sex. So.
Yeah, that's the story I heard. He saw two monkeys or something, just he was sitting somewhere and just saw them going at it. And he thought about writing a song about it. Yeah, only one lyric through the whole song, but it starts, you know, his voice deviates through the whole song. And I love this song, man. I think it's a really good rocker. And when I go to a piano bar that has dueling pianos, I always request this song. And they do it, man. They really do it. And the falsetto part in there near the end, when he just goes off the rails, I've always loved that. And this is always my go-to song when I'm having a couple drinks. I love this song. What do you think?
I like it too. It's really simple. It's kind of stupid, but yeah, it is a memorable song. And way back when I was in college, every Valentine's Day they would play Beatles love songs on the rock station.
Uh-huh.
And this song would always get requested.
Yeah, it's cool.
And then I dialed in once 1 year and requested When I'm 64.
Uh-huh.
And they said, oh no, we're only doing love songs.
Well, that is a love song.
Well, it's not really, but I pointed out that this is the only song where they mention Valentine.
That's true, they do.
So that shut them up and they agreed to play it. So it was a small victory on my part.
I will. Another McCartney song, it's short, but it's good, it's cute. It's got a nice lyric. The lyrics are just really pretty, beautiful, I guess. Acoustic sounds great. It's got some good percussion in there. His voice sounds good. And he always, he says that he's, Will and Kate requested this at their wedding.
Huh.
And he now is playing it again because if they like it, you know, I guess he's decided he'll play it again in concert. Hmm. He does a good job with it in concert. But it is a short song, so not much. There's not much to it, but it's a good vocal. I like it.
I really like this song. It's got a beautiful melody, and I like singing it along with Paul.
Yeah, me too.
I do like this song.
Best on these two sides, or what?
No. It's not my favorite song of the first half, and it's not my favorite Paul song of the first half. But I do really like it.
Yeah, I like it too. It's a good song and it holds up well. And Julia, the last song on this side, this is a really cool tune. It's very haunting. Great acoustic guitar there. Is this about his mom?
It's addressed to his mom, but I don't think it's about his mom. I mean, it seems like everybody, all the people that write about Beatles music always think that this is about his mom. I think it's about Yoko.
Yeah, you might be onto something there.
Especially because he says, Ocean Child calls me, and Yoko Ono is Ocean Child. I mean, it's translated into Ocean Child.
Really?
So he's basically saying, you were the great love of my life when I was a child. This is the love of my life now. Yoko meet Julia, Julia meet Yoko. And that's the way I've always seen this song. He's introducing his mom to his to the woman that he loves.
I got you. Well, that's a good way to look at it. Yeah, this song is cool. And like I said, it's very haunting. And there's a lyric about, when I cannot sing my heart, I can only speak my mind. I've always liked that. So that's it. So I guess I'll ask you, what's your favorite John song on the first two sides?
I don't know. Gosh, let me...
I've got my two.
Maybe it's I'm So Tired.
Yeah, that's my number two after Happiness, the Warm Gun is my number one. Favorite Paul song?
Or no. Yeah, it could be Dear Prudence, too.
Yeah, that's good, too.
Rats. I think I'm going to stick with I'm So Tired.
What's your favorite McCartney song?
Obladi Oblada.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, man, I don't know what mine is. I like Back in the USSR a lot.
Uh-huh, that's close to Obladi Oblada for me.
And I like Rocky Raccoon a lot, too. Yeah, but I like Why Don't We Do in the Road, too. I don't know, it's hard to pick. This is a strong album. What do you think?
Yeah, it's got a lot of stuff on it. I mean, before they were putting out albums with 14 tracks, this is 17 tracks, and it's just half of the album.
Yeah, I mean, there's just a lot of good material on here.
Yeah, they were very inspired when they were in India with nothing else to do.
And this was George's idea, right?
I think that it was Patty's idea.
Really?
But yeah, it was because of George.
Is this a kind of a, was this a way to get the band closer together, or what was the reason for them doing this trip?
I think they just wanted to find some answers because they'd lost their manager, their last project hadn't done so well, so I think they just wanted to regroup mentally. And
so the first half of the album, what's your going away thoughts here?
Well, it's great. This is a great album, and it shows a lot of variety with the songs. There's pretty much something for everybody on here.
Yeah, that's what's good about this album. There is so many different styles that are on it that it really somehow works well together. And yeah, I mean, we got another great two sides coming up. So
I know that George Martin was pushing to make this a single album, just take the strongest stuff and make a single album out of it. But I don't know if I'd be able to pick apart this thing and just choose the best tracks, because there's so much good stuff on here.
Yeah, for sure. There is. There's a ton of good stuff on here.
I do miss that you can't... I like the way when it was separated into four sections, because the first and third sides were kind of rockier. And they also ended with that single drum hit. And you miss that with the CD.
Right.
Or I should say, you don't get that with the CD, and I kind of miss it. I like it being split into four sections instead of two.
Are there any clues in the company booklet on our Paul is Dead issue?
Yeah. There's a picture of Paul in the bathtub where he's lying down in the water. His hair is like floating in the water, and I always thought that was like a shot from the accident, and that was blood and his brains coming out of the top of his head. Oh, but God. It's just hair. It's just his hair in the water, in the soapy water.
There's a picture on one of the pages of this dude with the glasses and a pencil-thin mustache and his hair slicked back. And it looks like Paul and all the Paul is Dead sites, and there's a ton of them out there. Have you ever tried to Google that?
No, I haven't.
Oh, my God. They're all over the place. And they claim that that's Billy Shears or whatever.
Actually, I think it's Billy Campbell. I got confused before. I think the imposter's name is Billy Campbell.
Well, they claim that's him in the White Album booklet.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good times. We'll talk to you.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.